this day. I thank you that this is a very special day. Every Sunday is special, but especially on this day because it is Palm Sunday. And I thank you for the significance of it. And I ask that you bless us, that we will have a significant part in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, because the screen says, what does it say? Then thank you for bringing your palms. Look at the palms. Would you lift your palms? Look at the palms, dear Jesus. All of you have two palms. Right. I'm not going to joke about that. But anyway, you lifted up your palm. That's really good. Okay, but okay, what about real palms? Can we have a real palm? Can we have real palms here? Well, the sign says real palms. So, oh, come on, guys. What do you got here? Oh, my goodness. Now, what did the people say when the palms came in? Jesus, let's say it. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. 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 Beautiful. These guys have been practicing this for I don't know how long. You did beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, bring it. Well, you said it. Hosanna. Well, bring the palms back, gentlemen. Bring them. Let's leave them up here. Yes, because it is this kind of a Sunday. And it's so important because I heard you say Hosanna, didn't I? Yeah. Okay. Do you realize that in the Old Testament, in Psalm 118, it says, O Lord, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Say that. The name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. So in the Old Testament, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before, we have this scripture, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so the word actually means save. It means God save, the Hebrew word, and also the Greek word means the same thing. It means that God saves, and it says help. Oh boy, how many times this past week have I yelled out, help, help, or thought help, help? I'll not answer that question. Anyway, Jesus had this great triumphant entry on Palm Sunday. And let me tell you this story. One day, years ago, this little kid was very ill, and he couldn't go to church, and it was on Palm Sunday. So here's what happened. When his parents came home, the parents said, oh, we had palm branches there celebrating because Jesus came in. And the little kid said, oh, my goodness, wouldn't you know it? The day that I'm sick, Jesus comes. Because he thought they meant Jesus was actually coming in. So today begins what we call a Holy Week. It is a Holy Week because Jesus came in, as you see on the screen. He came in, and we'll talk about his coming in two different times, but Jesus came in to set the stage for a period of time from his entry all the way through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then next Sunday will be what? Thank you very much. Because you know what? I don't like the word Easter because we have, well, you know what we've done? We've got the bunny. We've got the eggs, and there's nothing wrong with that. And raising my five kids and all the grandkids and great-grandkids, the same thing. It's good that we do that, but we must not let it take away from or deter us from the Resurrection Sunday. So I love what you said. Next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Okay, so I just led you through all that. So one of the things that we're going to do at this church on Wednesday night, in as much as we can't do it on Thursday night, because that would just mess up everybody's schedule. Thursday night is usually when they have what we call Maud Day Thursday. And the idea of coming together for Maud Day Thursday is really, really important. And so we're going to have Maundy Thursday on Wednesday, where we're going to serve communion. And you're going to come into a different arrangement of the sanctuary here. And we're going to have communion. That'll be our midweek service in lieu of having it on Thursday night, which is the regular time. Now, during the time when Jesus came in, he knew what was going to happen. He knew that there was going to be a time when, wow, there'd be the washing of the feet. Don't lift your hands, but have any of you ever had your feet washed in the church? You don't have to respond. Okay, we got a couple of nods. Okay. We did it twice at a church in King City. I did not want to participate, though I was leading the group. And so the people came in, and we did what we had to do. And then it came for the foot washing. We had a pail here, a basin, and we had another basin over here. And the people were invited to come. And so in the meantime, I am sitting in a chair back here like this, watching the people having their feet washed. Fine with me. You're not going to see my dirty feet. Not dirty, but my ugly feet, pardon me. I do take a shower once a week. Anyway, so this guy by the name of Robert Grab. I can't even remember your name, but I remember his name. He came up and he said, "Pastor, yes, may I wash your feet?" Say again? And he wanted to wash my feet. And so what could I do? People were watching. And so I took my shoes off. I took my socks off. And you know, people, that was such a humbling situation, because it was. Say again? Yes, that's exactly right. And so that is one of the things that happened after Jesus came in on this triumphant entry, was the foot washing. So there are a lot of different things that did happen. But, you know, I've always been confused about this. One gospel writer says he came in on two donkeys. Another gospel writer says he came on one donkey. So I said, you know, what's this all about? So I got to thinking, well, why don't I just figure it out, which I did with the help of the Holy Spirit and by reading the Bible. You see, we have how many Gospels? And they all talk from different perspectives, right? And they see things from different angles, all right? Okay, for example, I think it was Monday. I can't remember, but it was last week sometime. Oh, yes, it was last Monday. My next-door neighbor saw me getting my little blue bird and driving away. He saw me leaving. Now, before I came back, I met this lady in Paso Robles. I had not seen her for more than 35 years. She was in Watsonville. She said, "Neil, when I get to 30 minutes out of Paso Robles, I'll call you, and then you can drive your 30 minutes and meet me, and we'll get together." And that was beautiful. I haven't seen her. Talked to her a couple of months ago and then a year before. So we made that arrangement. And then while I was there, I can't show you the picture that my little guy has on the phone, but I went to Big Bubba's. This is my one rabbit for a sermon. Okay, I went to Big Bubba's in Paso, and they have some cells there, real cells with locks. And there's a picture taken of me behind the bars right there, you know. "Help, let me out. I'm getting to a point, if you're still awake, okay? So then several other things happened. The point being, I had some long-distance phone calls to make to pray for some people in Minneapolis and in North Carolina. So I finally drove back to my home. Now here's the point I'm trying to make. If you're still awake with me, I came back and my neighbor said, "Hi." I said, "Hi." Now, he did not have a clue where I had been, what I had done. He saw me leave. He saw me come back. So this is the point I'm trying to make. By having the four Gospels, we can sort out the stories. Once he did come, and the screen will show you now the picture, if you will, of the entry the first time. And so in a moment, Jaden, will pop up the two documents. So the Bible tells us the first time he came in on two donkeys. Friday night, he spent the night at the home of Zacchaeus in Jericho. And then he goes to Jerusalem. He makes his first entry on the two donkeys. Matthew 21, 1 through 11 specifically says that he definitely came in. You see it on the screen. He came in on two donkeys. This was not a triumphal entry, but it was an entry into Jerusalem. And after he came into Jerusalem, there was a number of things that did happen. And then he returns to Bethany when he spends the night and he eats and he has some suppers. Two anointings take place. And then on Sunday, he makes his second triumphal entry, which you see on the screen now, which we all associate with Palm Sunday. So the thing that confused me was when it says once that he came in on two donkeys, then I got the time frame straightened out. He came in on two donkeys. It was not a triumphant entry, but then while he was there during the week, he did a few things, like he turned over the money changers, a few other things that I don't recall he did after he came in on the two donkeys into Jerusalem. On Palm Sunday, he comes into Jerusalem, and those events do not take place. Well, the point is, he had this great triumphant entry. He came in on a borrowed donkey, a donkey that had never been sat upon. That's important, I think, too. So he comes in, and you know what all the people did. You've seen pictures, you've seen movie presentations, how the people put down the palm branches and they waved them, and they also put down robes and different garments so he could. That is what you do when a king comes in. Now, for example, if President Obama came into your home and you knew he was coming, probably you would fix up the house. Probably you would sweep to let him come in. Well, some of you may not. Okay. And so the point being that this is what happened when Jesus came in. It was so important for the people to revere him, to say, Hosanna, say it. Hosanna. Say it again. Hosanna. And we sang that song, Hosanna in the highest. And so it was a singing of the people. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. God helps, God saves. So, with that having said, let me expand it by saying, why the palm branches? I mean, there are other flowers. I mean, there are a lot of, but the Bible says that they used palm branches. So I get to thinking, well, you better find that out. So, you know, you investigate and you find out that in ancient times. So let's do this, if you will. Go with me. This is Jesus' time. Let's go back like 500 years. And then we're going to go forward to where we are and even farther to the coming. And here's what I understand. In ancient times, palm branches symbolized goodness. They symbolized well-being. They symbolized victory. And so it is a symbol of joy. It is a symbol of victory. And to us, it's a sign of victory over the flesh. I'm sure you will agree. So palm branches are in the past being used. Do you know that in the temple, guess what they had all around carved? Yes. All around. Was it significant? Yes, it was very significant. And so when King Solomon had these palm branches carved into the walls and on the door of the temple, both the inner and the outer courts, he carved the cherubims, but he also carved palm trees and open flowers. So in the past, we have the tradition of using the palm branches. Okay, now let's go way in the future, way past our time, when the Bible says, Revelation 7, 9, people from every nation raise palm branches to honor Jesus. And then this is what John says. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands. So the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, where he was exiled, had this vision from God, which is in the future, of people with the palm branches. So you got them now, you're going to have them then. Praise God for the symbolism of that. So when we had Passover in those past days, the people came from all over. And today we come from all over right now. You're not all just from Morro Bay. Tell me where you're from. Bakersfield, Oklahoma. You mean you drove all the way over here from Oklahoma? But where do you live right now? Morro Bay, Cayucas, Los Osos, maybe. So we come from all over. You know, we come from all over. And what we did this morning was just worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness, and His presence was here, dear people. It was here. It was here. So let me read this quote to you. It's a story of the triumphant entry. It's one of contrast. And those contrasts contain applications to believers. Any believers here? It is the story of a king who came as a lowly servant on a donkey, not a prancing steed, not in royal robes, but on the clothes of a poor and humble person. He came not to conquer, this person says, by force, as earthly kings would do, but He came to conquer by L-O-V-E, which is what? Yes, grace, mercy, and His own sacrifice for His people. His is not a kingdom of armies, the writer says, and splendor, but of lowliness and servanthood. He conquers not nations, but He conquers hearts and minds. His message is one of peace with God, not of temporal peace. Now, if Jesus has made a triumphant entry into our hearts, He reigns there in peace and love. And as His followers, we exhibit those same qualities, and the world sees the true King living and reigning in triumph in us. I like those words that I shared with you. So, He could have come in on a horse, but He didn't. His purpose was to make us realize that He was coming in according to what was written 500 years before, Zechariah 9:9. I want you to repeat after me. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon a colt of the foal of a donkey. Now, these are the words from Zechariah. Zechariah 9:9. It sort of blows my mind away that it's God, that a man, a prophet as he was, Zechariah, could hear from God and write something that was going to come about so many, many years later. So he writes it down. How in the world did he didn't have an iPad? He didn't have, what did he have? Smartphone? He had a quill, okay? And you know what a quill is? It's the point of a feather. And so he dips it in some kind of ink, and on parchment from papyri, he writes these words, and I love them. He says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout. The king comes to you." Like you see on the screen. Having salvation, he's lowly riding upon a donkey. So I guess the bottom line is this, people. The conclusion, obviously, is this. The conclusion is, has he ridden into your heart? Has he ridden? And I would think that probably all of you have had your heart opened so that he can come in. But you know what? You can't go by outward appearance. You can't go by that. So my plea to us all and to one who may be here now or who hears the sound of my voice through the CD being played somewhere, has he ridden into your hearts? And if he has, you know, rejoice, rejoice greatly, O sons, rejoice greatly, O daughters. Look at your palm. Would you look at your palm? Do you know that the scripture says, and I had to look that one up, it says in Isaiah 49:16. First of all, we have attributed to God human attributes, right? He is a spirit, but we have contributed to him human attributes. That blows my mind away too. But in doing this, it says in this scripture, Isaiah 49:16, God has engraved you on the palm of his hand. Wow, that's what I said too. Wow. I would say how, but the answer is G-O-D, G-O-D, G-O-D. We have name tags this morning, right? Herbert Einstein said that there are, this was years ago, 28, I can't even pronounce the name of the word, but it's 28 comma followed by 28 zeros. Of the number of stars that there are, 28 comma zero, 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 28 zeros. But here's the beautiful thing, people. This is what blows my mind away. The Bible says that God has named every star. Now, I'm getting back to what is written on his palm of his hand. Now, after I get through Tom, Dick, Harry, and Gertrude, and Virginia, that's it. Okay. But it says that he has named every star. If he, of course, has named a star. Wow, that's right. If, and of course that is true, then on the palm of his hand, my people, he has written your name, your name. And when something is written on your name, you don't forget it. Now to backtrack. A friend of mine used to have a service station in King City at the Shell station at the roundabout there. And it was when the governor now was governor then, Jerry Brown. And this guy came in, drove in, and it was the governor. He was driving himself. And so my friend, Junior Brock, with a pen, wrote on the palm of his hand the number of gallons and the amount. Now, this is way back, you know, back in the early 70s. And so then when he got to inside, he knew exactly what to punch into the cash register, okay? It let him remember. Now, what I'm getting at is this. If he did that to remember, and if God can do that to remember, oh, dear people, he knows about you. So I just want you right now just to lift your palm to him. And Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that as we lift our palms to you, it is a symbol of saying, Hail Jesus, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. We are reminding of that scripture in Isaiah 49:16. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. So, Father God, I can ask, can a mother forget the baby and have no compassion on the child she's born? Of course not. She will not forget. And so you, Father God, says you will never forget. So the engravement on the hand. God, I just pray your blessing upon every hand that is raised. And would you stand and raise your palm, please? Would you stand and raise your palm? And on this day, Father God, I just symbolically wave this palm. As you people wave your palm to him, Father God, accept our palms on this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming, dear people.